Bread for Life by Laurie Kastner. Note from editor. Former editor's note from Judy Wilkinson. It's a great occasion at Bayview chapter meetings when Laurie Kastner brings homemade cookies. Now that I've read this article, we'll demand some kind of wonderful bread at a future meeting. Close note. By Laurie. Whenever someone asks me what activities I enjoy, the first one that comes to mind is baking bread. Not a quick bread that mixes up in a few minutes, but yeast bread, which takes 5 to 6 hours from start to finish. When I was in third grade, one Saturday afternoon, my mother announced that she was going to bake bread, and I stood beside her enthralled as she showed me the steps to creating a loaf. She demonstrated the special process for mixing bread dough called kneading, and let me check the size of the dough several times while it increased in volume in a draft-free location. I loved the finished product, a hot, light, crusty slice of with butter. But it was the process of producing loaves and rolls that got me hooked. In junior high, I discovered more about bread baking as we spent several sessions in home economics learning how to bake loaves and sweet rolls. Because yeast is a living organism, I understood I must use lukewarm water to soften the small granules so they would grow, causing dough to rise and produce airy, textured bread. Because of the time needed for the rising process, our class made the dough on Monday, kneading it by pushing our hands forward and pressing downward, then turning the dough a quarter turn and pressing downward and forward. Each of us repeated these steps again and again until the dough reached the proper texture, a smooth and shiny feeling ball, which we refrigerated. Then, at our next class on Wednesday, we formed the dough into chosen shapes, loaves, and various types of rolls, spirals, butterflies, crescents, clover leaves. We left them to rise throughout the afternoon and through the dinner hour, and baked them in a hot oven. At last, we carried our bounty back to the dormitory, where we feasted with friends, as though all of us had not just eaten a hot meal. Over the past 50 years, from my junior high days until now, I have collected bread recipes, at first by transcribing them from Braille magazines, enough to fill 3 large binders, later by purchasing cookbooks, and now by searching the internet. Over the years, few steps in my bread-making process have changed, except for the fact that today I use instant yeast, which does not need to soak before being mixed with other ingredients. I do not use the very popular bread machine, but rather knead the sticky, rough dough until it develops a shiny, satiny, elastic texture. I'm still more hooked on the process of making bread than on the final product, although I do enjoy my husband's eagerness as he waits for a fragrant loaf or a pan full of rolls to appear on the cooling rack. I have made many types of loaves: cheese-filled, oatmeal honey, whole wheat, cornmeal molasses, and brioche. For holidays, I bake special breads. At Easter, I traditionally make hot crust buns. Occasionally, I make rolls which are shaped like small pigeons. These rolls originated in the Ukraine, where they were served at Easter to celebrate the lark's migration to the north. When guests see a bread basket filled with these crusty shapes, they inevitably comment on delight and surprise. For Thanksgiving, I bake clover leaf rolls using the recipe I got from my junior high teacher, who taught at the California School for the Blind. At Christmas, I bake loaves of panettone, a pine nut and raisin-filled loaf flavored with anise seeds. I received several recipes for this traditional Christmas bread from my cousin, whose mother married into an Italian family. Also over the years, I have acquired a large number of implements for baking breads and rolls. Of course, I have loaf pans in many sizes and muffin tins for holding dough for rolls. I also own a pan for baking French bread. It contains 2 long sections for shaping loaves, and each section is covered with small holes. To use this pan, I place a pan of hot water on the bottom of a shelf. The oven's heat and the hot water combine to create steam, which permeates the holes to create that marvelous crunchy crust. I most recently purchased a Pullman pan. This pan has a cover, and closing this cover while the bread bakes creates a square loaf, perfect for sandwiches, and gives the loaf a very dense, moist interior. Many years ago, my husband bought me a beautiful, large, handmade pottery bowl. I use it exclusively for bread dough, and I knead bread on a large silicone mat, a surface which prevents the dough from sticking while I work. I never tire of reading bread recipes and blogs, or of trying a new recipe, or one that has its roots in another culture. The old-fashioned process of baking yeast breads has filled many delightful hours, and the results have enabled me to share not only with my family, but with neighbors and friends. Anyone planning a bake sale? Yeast rolls. Refrigerator. This is the recipe that my home ec teacher in junior high gave each student to use for making sweet rolls. I bake rolls for Thanksgiving using this basic dough. You can skip the step for refrigerating the dough if you wish to bake rolls immediately. Ingredients. 1 package dry yeast. 1/4 cup lukewarm water. 1/4 cup shortening or butter. 1 cup scalded milk. 1/4 teaspoon salt. 1/2 cup sugar. 1 egg. And about 4 cups sifted flour. Sift the flour. Soften yeast in warm water. Add shortening to milk and cool milk. Beat egg and add sugar, cold milk mixture, and yeast water mixture. Stir in salt and enough flour to make a stiff enough dough to knead. Knead dough about 10 minutes until silky and pliable. Set in greased bowl, turning dough to grease top. Let dough rise until double in size. Punch dough down and place in refrigerator. Dough will keep about a week. Remove from refrigerator and shape. Let rise. Bake in 400-degree oven for 10 to 12 minutes.